Good afternoon, everyone. So for our afternoon plenary, I would like to introduce to you Dr. Matt Dobbs. He is an associate professor in the physics department at McGill.
The vast majority of people that are up in front of a classroom have no formal training in education. And that's, you know, one of the favorite topics of new professors. We sit around and talk about how unfair the world is and how, you know, fully a third of our job responsibilities are in a domain that we've never been trained in, never been trained in teaching. But fortunately, since I started by introducing what the most important things are at a university, we have confidence because we've learned how to learn. We have some confidence in our own abilities through our peer interactions and trainings and by participating in a high-performance group in university. And more in universities today, there are groups of people who are actually there to professionally help us with these things, things like the teaching and learning services. But the idea that most new professors have that there isn't specific support and mentorship for them in the classroom is fundamentally wrong. It's just that it's not official. In the same way that you might have had to put together a high-performance team to huddle together and achieve those assignments that were going to take too long for you in undergrad, there's peer groups in the university, the other new professors, who can huddle with you to talk about these things, to do the research. And most important, there's really experienced people that are all around you that can help. So I was really surprised. When I showed up, I realized, oh, there's no structure in place to help me teach. And so I was surprised. I thought what I needed someone to guide me through it. I needed someone to hold my hand. And I was fortunate because I was here at McGill, and I did my undergrad at McGill. So I actually have a very intimate knowledge of which professors are really good at teaching me, because I won't pretend that my style of learning is good for everyone else, which professors I really respect in their teaching habits, and which ones I don't. So I knew exactly who I wanted to be like. And, you know, there's other ways that you can learn that if you're in a new place. You can ask the students. They're usually the best at evaluating people. And you can figure out who these people are. And in my case, I went down the hall and knocked on one of these people's doors. For me, I chose John Crawford, who's a retired professor now in the Department of Physics. And I said, hey, I want to learn how to teach kind of like you did. And first he said, well, Matt, my teaching style's out of date. There's all this research, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can do all these things much better than I did. And I said, well, yeah, but I would still at least like to be able to teach as well as you did, because you were very influential for me. And to my surprise, he said, great, I'll help you. What do you want to do? So we developed a little system, and I have to admit my system had a couple motivations. One was to teach better. Another was that I needed someone to cover a few lectures while I was going to be traveling, which is a great side effect of this. And so what we agreed is that he would come to my first three lectures and give me feedback. And that's all he did. He came into the classroom and sat there and wrote me an email in the class while I was teaching. And it was incredibly useful. It was incredibly useful. He told me what I did well. He told me what I did poorly at the front of the room. And he also told me to pay attention to certain areas of the room. Matt, did you notice in the back right corner, there's a whole bunch of people that just send emails all class? Why don't you either encourage them to leave or engage them? He said, Matt, did you notice in the middle of the class on the left, there's a cluster of three or four students that are clueless? They have no idea what you're talking about. So just little things like that. And then after those three lectures, he gave two lectures in my class that I watched, and I was surprised. He asked me to do the same thing. I sat at the back of the room, and I typed him an email as he taught, and I noted all the things he did well and all the things he did poorly. And he did a lot of things poorly. I mean, he was the best professor I knew when I was an undergrad, and he's, you know, retired now. He has a wealth of understanding. And there were things that I could see from the back of the room that he did poorly, that I could improve on his. If I was as good as him, I would know how to be better. And that surprised me a little bit, that if only I could be as good as him, which I don't pretend to be, I would immediately know which things he can improve to be better. From the back of the room, I could put myself in the shoes of many of the students and figure out what they were having trouble with, from their facial expressions, from not being at the front of the classroom and being nervous about talking and just watching them, and, you know, thinking about what I'm hearing. I could figure out how he could teach better. And that surprised me a whole lot. So this was probably the most important training I ever had as a teacher. And I don't claim to be a great teacher or anything like that, but the things I learned most were in that room with John Crawford. The last thing I realized in interacting in this way with John was that John Crawford did not matter whatsoever to the exercise that we just had. I demonstrated by sitting at the back of the room and pretending to be him evaluating me that I was almost as good or maybe better or as good or indistinguishable from him at evaluating his teaching. So my little experiment did not depend on having who I thought was the greatest teacher in the room, because most people in the room could give that feedback that I needed. It's important to separate them from the students in the class so that they have nothing at stake and so that they aren't worried about their grades or their effect of complaining about your teaching so they can be honest with you. But most people who are quasi-experienced in the subject can sit and watch you and improve your teaching. So I do the John Crawford thing now as often as I can in my classes, but I don't do it with my most respected teachers. I instead talk to the postdocs in my department. And every once in a while in a class, there will be a postdoc that express interest in getting experience in the classroom. Awesome, I might get to travel a little bit and miss a lecture or two. But I need to pay that back. I need to pay that back. And the way I do it is exactly the same way that I learned with John Crawford. I start and I ask that postdoc to come to the class for 3 lectures and to honestly tell me how I can improve. And that the notes I get from that are usually as good as what John Crawford provided and as insightful. And I stagger that with allowing them to teach, to deliver a lecture. I usually give them an example of what I would have delivered for the first lecture and the second lecture. And then I sit there and evaluate, and also just make sure that the room is in order and so forth, until finally I say, go ahead and write your own lectures and do it your way entirely. And for me, that's been one of the most important mentorship tricks or strategies that I've used in the classroom for my own teaching and also to help others along and to give people experience in the classroom. So if you're at the postdoc level, you can probably approach other professors in your department and offer to do that, possibly even at the senior undergraduate level, but certainly even as a TA in a lab environment or in a tutorial, right? You can find other TAs that are your peers that can evaluate you and tell you how to improve, and you can do the same back for them.